The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
How we doing, Harrington?
Dude, I'm doing great.
You doing great? Well, we've started the show. I need a bit more energy from you.
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, Mr. Bisping. Happy to be here on a Monday. BYM is back, baby.
Bring it down a notch. I'm joking, buddy. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you. And good to be back and good to be here doing the Believe You Me podcast from home, a place that I have missed greatly. But you know what? It was all worth it because UFC Paris Saturday night. Oh, my God. What a sensational event. I'm sure you watched it. I said Saturday night, French MMA fans are the best in the world, right?
You did say that.
I did say that. And as soon as I said it, I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to have everyone coming after me. I'm going to have all the British people going, you prick. We stayed up till 6 o'clock in the morning so many times watching your fights. We went to a live fight, and you're going to say the French are better than us? Because, you know, the French and the English historically have done that. But I stand by what I said, people. I'm joking. But they were amazing. As the English fans are, all MMA fans are great. That's what makes the sport so incredible. But did it come through the TV? Because I tell you what, there in person, the noise, the cheers, the singing, the passion, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, certainly any time a French fighter was in there, you know, like for the last two fights of the card and then, you know, earlier on down, you know, there was some big French names on this card. And yeah, it was like songs in the crowd. Like it felt like a, you know, I guess you guys would call it a football match, you know, like just a lot of singing in the crowd in cheering on their fighter. It was pretty cool.
It is a football match. It's not what we call a football match. Okay, we kick a ball with our feet. It's football. It's the most popular sport in the world. Okay. And we all call it football. Some reason you guys just decided to reinvent it and call it soccer. Says no one ever. Anyway, but call it soccer, call it whatever you want. Let's talk about Cyril Garn. First of all, and we're going to get into it a little bit later, but whoever robbed his apartment whilst he was out putting on an incredible performance, you're an absolute goddamn piece of shit. For anyone that doesn't know, the news broke this morning. While Cyril was out there providing great entertainment, some people broke into his apartment, robbed about $160,000 worth of jewelry, watches, valuables, God knows what else. And an anonymous source says it may be someone close to his entourage. I don't know where that's coming from. Do you know anything more about that?
No, this is the first time I'd heard it was somebody who was close to him who might have set him up. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, it was on MMA fighting. But still, regardless, enough of that. I just hope he's insured. Because, I mean, because I was at his after party afterwards, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's focus on the positives. The fight, it was absolutely bloody incredible. I mean, it was always a bad matchup for Sergey and a bad matchup for Cyril. Bad matchup for both men if they couldn't implement their game plan. Of course, for Sergey Spivak, the game plan is get a hold of him, try and take him down. If he'd have done that, he could have very, very easily upset the party, sent everyone home, pissed off. But that's not what happened. He picked him apart. He made it look easy. He didn't even break a sweat, hardly, by the looks of it. I mean, sitting there at home, what were your thoughts, Harrington?
I mean, it was like going into the fight, right? Cyril Garn has never won a fight that he's been taken down in. And Sergey Pavlovich has never won a fight where he has failed to take someone down. So I knew at that first wrestling exchange, this was going to tell me everything I needed to know about the fight. And Cyril Garn, there was absolutely no question whether or not he was going to be staying on his feet. Like it was absolutely dominant from that point. Like, just from that first wrestling exchange, you're not getting me to the ground. And in that moment, it's like, okay, well, this is just a countdown until Ciryl Gane gets a spectacular finish.
Yeah, I mean, just because you fail on your first attempt doesn't mean you're going to fail on every attempt.
But he wasn't close, dude.
No. But again, you know, this was five rounds. You never know. And by the way, everyone, I forgot to say off the top of the show, we've got Sugar Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight champion, joining us. We've got Brendan Allen joining us in just a few minutes as well. No Anthony Smith. He's deservedly so enjoying time with his family right now. So, you know, we've thought we'd bring in two guests, one of them being one of the hottest stars in mixed martial arts right now. So stay tuned, boys and girls. Yeah, look, listen, Sergey, he can't compete with Ciryl on the feet. Simple as that. We can talk about the X's and O's and all the rest of it. He's just nowhere near as good. I mean, against the fence, he punished him with some knees. I mean, this is the stoppage right here. See the way he keeps him on the end of the shots the whole time? Doesn't get too close. Nice little creative hammer fist there. Mark Goddard's taking a close look here. But as I said there, notice the way he keeps him on the end of the shots. This is what a lot of inexperienced fighters, and I hate to say it, a lot of the female fighters, and I'm not picking on them, they go in, they throw the shots, and then they fall into the clinch. You've got to be in control of your feet. You know, if you want to avoid the clinch situations, you want to keep the fight on the feet, you've got to be in control of your feet just as much as you are in control of your ground game, your submissions, your wrestling, your kicks. You've got to be on balance. Can't swing and then fall. And he was perfectly on balance. He maintained range. Takedown defense was on point. The strikes were, as always, beautiful. Yeah, and just a fantastic main event to cap off an incredible night of action.
And it's like, it is interesting for a guy like Ciryl Gane, right? Like he has the loss against Ngannou, comes back, gets the win against Derek Lewis, sets up the John Jones fight. And coming out of that John Jones fight, I feel like everybody had kind of written him off a little bit as a as like an elite level heavyweight. You know, like he's at that point now, he's two fights for the title. Neither one went his way. Like people seem to, in your mind, at least you write a guy off. That's the instinct. So coming into this fight, He had a lot to prove to get himself back on track, and I don't think you could put on a better performance as far as writing the ship.
Yeah. Well, you can't write someone off because they lose to John Jones. You know what I mean? Made one mistake, got choked out. Granted, it came early, but I do know what you're saying. You know, you think stylistically, that's why I said at the top. You know, I mean, he had a lot to come back and prove. But when I spoke to him, he was like, listen, I've got a good ground game. And sure enough, he won his first two fights in the UFC via submission. So yeah, look, listen, that was the fight. Ciryl Gane was absolutely unbelievable. And he was unbelievable at the after party as well. And because I was with Tom Aspinall, went and hung out with Tom, we had a couple of beers, nothing crazy. Very, you know, Tom's a disciplined athlete. So we had a couple of beers with Paul Felder and some of the production team, went back to the hotel to call it a night. And Ciryl had a party going on downstairs of the hotel. And me and Tom, we were laughing. We were laughing to ourselves because we were like, look at Ciryl. This man knows how to throw a party. We're both from the northwest of England, you know, just humble lads. We might go to the pub, you know, and have a few beers or whatever, maybe. We got Ciryl's booked out the entire downstairs of a big hotel. He's got DJs, there's food, there's all kinds of like, it was like a very carnival atmosphere. There's punch bag machines. And we walked down, and right as we walked down, because you take an escalator down, right when we get there, Ciryl's there with a bunch of people and they're punching the machine, you know. So straight away, it was like, come on, Bisping. Come on, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So there's a video of it. In fact, Brian, if you've got it, press play. It's on my social media. But I felt, look at Ciryl. Number one, looking cool as hell. Smashes it to pieces. The big crowd has seemed like every TikToker and influencer in the world is there. So like, they're like, come on, Bisping, hit it. And I'm like, well, if Tom hits it, I'll do it. There's Tom going, go on. I took the watch off. Didn't want to break the watch because, you know, the power's crazy. But whatever. It doesn't show me hitting it here. But for those that were there, I might have hit over 1,000. You know, that's really? A lie. It's a lie. I had a solid attempt, but I can't remember what it was. But a great party. Thank you, Ciryl, for having us. And then, of course, went home and found out the news that had been robbed. Pieces of shit. Story to be told. To unfold, hope to get caught, maybe have some cameras. I don't know. Hopefully, he was just insured. You know what I mean?
You'd have to figure, like, I think I read a Rolex was one of the things that was taken. Like, that's a thing you typically would insure. No, really?
Mine's not insured. Mine aren't insured. Anyway, don't come and steal them. But that's the thing as well, because, like, you know, he's on TV fighting. It's clearly evident that he's not going to be home. Do you know what I mean? So I guess that's the problem when you're in the public eye. Well, let's talk about Shopify really quick. If you listen to the show, you know they've supported the podcast for quite some time. And if you have a business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you've got anything that you're trying to sell, you need a presence online. And Shopify really is the easiest way to go about that. In this modern age, 2023, if you're not online, if you haven't got an e-commerce platform, then you are so far behind all of your competitors. It's kind of ridiculous, right? But a lot of people, again, they think it's too much money, too complicated, too time consuming, right? With Shopify, it makes it all super, super simple. Instantly lets you accept every major payment method. It lets you sell across all the social medias, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all the rest of it. They have 24/7 customer service. They have an extensive business library, and Shopify will support you every single step of the way. So whatever it is that you're selling, now it's time to get serious about your business and really start to grow. Okay. That is basically the opportunity that Shopify gives you. Of course, you can do this other ways, but Shopify is so quick. It's so cheap. It's so easy, cost effective. I mean, you would be a fool not to take advantage of this offer. $1 a month, take your business, boost it, get online, start making real money, right? They cover everything for you. If there's anything that you're not sure of, they will help you. Shopify is the e-commerce platform which is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. And for $1 a month trial period, what are you waiting for? Right now, go to Shopify.com/believe. Shopify.com/believe. $1 a month for a trial period, all lowercase. Go get online, get customer service help, get support, get every major payment method accepted for $1 per month. Shopify.com/believe. Before, we got 5 minutes before Brendan Allen joins us. Rose Namajunas, Manon Fioro. What a great fight that was. I felt for Rose Namajunas. Breaks the finger in the first round quite significantly. Did you see the picture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was mangled.
Mangled is the right word. Looks mangled. And, you know, in a fight, obviously with the adrenaline, they always say you don't really feel things. But something like a broken finger like that, I mean, that's definitely going to affect things. Let's have a look here. Oh,
yeah, that just no looks... way you couldn't feel that.
There's no way. And that's why, because Pat Barry sent me a DM. He was like, yeah, that's why she couldn't complete the takedowns and things like that. But you can't take away from Manon's performance. Sadly, that's what happens in a fight. We're trying to do damage to each other. And yeah, Manon didn't cause that finger to happen, but you take kicks, you take shots, you take leg kicks, things happen, peroneal nerves get kicked, you know, your leg collapses, you lose an eye, you break a nose. Shit happens, you know what I mean? So really, really entertaining fight. Rose should be proud of herself, but Manon Fioro, she's got a real chance of being a French champion.
Exactly. Well, and it's weird because there were a couple people, right? I know Jamal Hill was one of them who was like super in his bag saying that Rose won two of those three rounds. And I'm not taking anything away from her. I had it clearly for Manon in that fight, but I will say.
Who else was saying that? Because I thought it was pretty universal that Manon won, you know. I mean, I hadn't heard that kind of theory, because I think when I walked in as well, you could tell from Pat Barry and Rose herself, with respect to them both, because I do respect them, but I think you could tell from their body language. Like, yeah. I can tell when I go in to interview someone, you can tell from them, unless it's like razor close and they're both like, did I get it? You know? You can tell if someone's the clear winner, because the other one kind of looks a little dejected. And I kind of feel like that was the case there. And if I'm wrong, I apologize, but go on.
No, I, I agree. You could see that off of Rose, like at the end of the very end of the fight, like Manon quickly with the two arms up, and then Rose like kind of half-assedly put it up too, to be, you know, I guess because you have to at that point to try to put something in the judge's mind. But like I said, I saw a couple of people. Jamal Hill was the loudest voice there. But the point I'm making with that, though, is this is the number two girl at 125, right? Like this is somebody who by all rights, like if not for Valentina being as decorated a champion as she was and needing that immediate rematch, she'd probably be in this title fight coming up at UFC Noche here. So I like there is credit to me for Rose. Like I'm not saying she can't hang at 125 after that performance. If 125 is still something she wants to do, she in my mind has every right to try to conquer that division.
Oh, absolutely. The problem is now, though, that it just sets her back and she's not going to be in title fight discussions anytime soon. That's what she wanted to achieve. Had she gone out there and beaten Manon Fiorro, then yeah, that would have been, given who she is, given her stock, given the fact that she's definitely a future Hall of Famer, a longtime champion at 115, she would have kind of been fast-tracked, you know what I mean, to a title fight. But that isn't the case now. I'm not saying it can't be in the future, but, you know, for the time being. And I just want to say about Rose, I really respected her because at the fighter meetings, she's beaten the strawweight champion twice, Zhang Weili, as we know. Zhang Weili is currently the champion. So there's definitely a storyline there for her to get another title fight. And if history has shown anything, it's that, well, two fights, two wins, maybe she becomes the champion again. And afterwards, Pat Barry... Well, first of all, her answer was, listen, I've already climbed that mountain twice. I don't want to climb it again. I don't want to do that again. I want to try something new. And I was like, I respect that so much, knowing that, well, this, you can't take it for granted, but knowing in her mind, she could probably become champion at 115, but she's not interested in that because she wants to challenge herself in a new weight class. But that is a gangster attitude. It's very refreshing. Afterwards, Pat Barry was like, Mike, trust me, I get it. Make loads of money, make millions of dollars as the champion. I try telling her every day. She is not interested in that. You know what I mean? He's like, motherfucker, can you explain to her for me? He was joking, of course. But yeah, look, listen, it was a shame for Rose, but Manon Fiorro, she's right there now. She will be fighting for a belt very, very soon, real quick before Brendan Allen joins us. Go on.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think about that? Because after the fight, she said, I think I've done enough to get myself a title shot. But if the UFC says you need one more, I would take on Aaron Blanchfield. Yeah. I think it's going to be an easy win for me stylistically. But what do you think is next for a title shot or the Blanchfield fight?
Just trying to rally through the fights before Brendan Allen joins us, because then we've got Sean O'Malley and all the rest of it. So see, you fucked it up. You fucked it up. That could have been a seamless transition, Hamilton. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by one big, smiley-looking, happy Brendan Allen. What's going on, Brendan?
Not much, man. Just got a little workout in before it started raining, so just chilling.
That is quite the head of hair that you're hiding under that baseball cap, brother.
Bro, it's a lot. It's
come on.
It's aggravating for sure.
Let take the hat off. Let's have a look at the full thing.
Oh man!
Oh my God! That is impressive.
Thanks, man.
Why would you cover that up? I mean, look at that. You'd look, I mean, oh, man. I mean, rest in peace, Elias Theodoro. I was going to say it's reminiscent of his beautiful head of hair, but that is, give me the regime. I mean, washing that. So women always say, I can't come out tonight because I'm washing my hair, which I never understand. Is there anything in that or are they full of shit?
I don't do nothing, man. Like, I don't use shampoo all the time because it dries it out. I get dry scalp. But, yeah, bro, I don't do nothing. Just brush it.
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 10, how much did you expect that we would be talking about your hair care routine when I asked you to join the podcast?
Negative two.
Exactly. So you're down in Florida right now, yeah?
No. I'm still in Louisiana for a couple more weeks. And then right. I go to Florida to train. So,
yeah. You got the fight with Paul Craig coming up. What's the date for that one?
November 18th.
Oh, so you got plenty of time. Early thoughts on that matchup, because Paul Craig, I love what he brings to the table. You know, he's always in exciting fights. You could say, you know, that obviously he's a ground specialist and kind of takes a lot of damage, but always finds a way to win. What is your assessment of that fight?
I'm going to turn it back on you. You say you enjoy that style. So you enjoy him getting his ass kicked, and sometimes he pulls it out, sometimes he doesn't.
Whoa. Listen, if you're sitting there, KJ, and you're calling his fights, right? And yeah, you're right. Sometimes he is taking a lot of damage, you know, heavy, heavy blows. But he finds a way of pulling out those triangles or the arm bars or whatever. And that's what makes him exciting. And for you, it's a big opportunity. He's going to win over the, you know, the light heavyweight champ. You know, he's had some very, very big wins.
Yeah, he's fought some good guys. And, you know, it's, I don't know the right word, but they're not me. They're not me. I'm a different breed. And I guess he thought it was a smart move to come from 205 to 85 and he was going to have his luck. But, not here, not at this time. It's just my time. I really feel it's just my time. I finally come into my own, and I still haven't shown everything that I'm capable of. I feel like I'm a man of many talents. I'm not great at anything, but I'm damn good at everything. So we're gonna see how much damage he can take. But I'm pretty damn positive I'm gonna get him out of there. I don't see any other way. I don't expect anything from myself other than to get him out of there.
You're pretty great at jiu-jitsu, Brendan. Come on, there's no need to be humble. I mean, your grappling is next level. Ever since you came to the UFC, that was always on display right from day one. But it seems like the striking now has caught up with that, and I'm assuming that's the work with Henry Hooft and all the help down at Killcliff, right?
That's definitely attributed to it. I feel like at Ruvisport, we were kind of caged. Like, we could never be ourselves. They wanted us strictly on this system, and it was a good system, but, you know, everyone's different. And going down to Killcliff, I got to kind of be myself, open up more. And more than anything, I think maturing mentally and being able to find myself mentally and being able to open that door to be able to compete at what I'm training at or close to it is a huge, huge thing for me. Comfortability, you know, all that I think relays into that same growth as a man.
Yeah. I'm just looking. So you signed with the UFC in 2019. I just looked. You're 27 years old. 27, so 4 years ago, you were 23 when you signed with the UFC. Because you're absolutely right. I mean, what you're touching on there, the maturity, the mental side of things, I talk about it a lot. And for me, I must have been almost 35, 36 by the time I started figuring that side out. I was always kind of a mental midget. I was very emotionally immature. Once you get that side of things taken care of course, you've got to train hard and, you know, the jiu-jitsu and the striking and the wrestling, the skills have got to be there. But if this thing isn't working correctly, it doesn't matter how good you're training in the gym, it's all going to fall apart on the night.
100%. I think I learned that. I realized that when I fought Malcoon. I was really, really messed up mentally in the fight. Like, I was so exhausted with the nerves the night before, and it wasn't that I was scared to fight, and it wasn't anything other than simply I knew I was better than him, a lot better, and I put so much pressure on myself to go out there and show it. I was literally, after weigh-ins, I was literally in bed just shaking like I was freezing cold. And everyone went and ate. I couldn't even eat. I think I was probably like 196 when I stepped in the cage that night, just because I wasn't eating. There was just so much mental pressure on myself, and I was not able to perform to anywhere near my abilities. And after that, I realized that I needed to figure something out, and I needed to get better at something. So I went and got a sports psychologist, and I've been working with him ever since. And as you can see, the rewards are there.
Well, you're definitely firing on all cylinders. For people listening to this now, they'll often hear fighters talk about, I worked with a sports psychologist or a mind coach or whatever. Would you just take us through like some of the stuff or the drills, like the mental drills that he has you doing?
Yeah, so we work a lot on like, we've obviously hit different stages, but, and I'm going to miss some of these exact words that we use, but like now.
That's all right, don't worry about it. I get everything wrong.
Yeah, it's been so long now. And matter of fact, we have our first session back because we take sessions off in between camps. But we started working on being able to tell if you're starting to, say, talk down on yourself or get onto yourself. So being able to realize that that's about to happen so you can catch it ahead of time. Because once it starts happening, it's just kind of like a slippery slope. It just keeps going downhill. Especially for me, like when I start talking bad about myself, like, shit, you should have done this or... man, you messed that up. Like, when that negative talk starts creeping in for me, I never was able to catch it. It would just steady go downhill fast. So being able to catch it before it happens or before it gets really bad, and being able to bring myself back up. So I started talking to myself like my best friend would talk to me. Self-affirmations, a lot of visualization, as well as he started making me do like audiobooks and stuff like that to start like opening my mind to different perspectives and things like that. So putting myself in different shoes. A cookie jar method, so going over things that I did in the past that are similar to what I'm about to go through as far as fighting. And like, for instance, Paul's, they say he's a good ground guy. I've been triangled, I've been armbarred, I've done it 1,000,000,000 times through jiu-jitsu throughout my life. So being able to have that cookie jar method and just things like that. So self-affirmation, cookie jar method, and visualization so far has been some of the biggest keys we've worked on, and just talking to myself like my best friend.
See, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because we do talk about things like this, but people would think, you know, people that tune in every Saturday, they watch the fights, they look at guys like yourself competing in the octagon, tough as nails, you know, they think, wow, these guys, you know, they're so confident and all the rest of it. Then to hear you talking about things like that, it must blow people's minds, but it's true, because this controls everything. And just because we go out there and we fight, you know, doesn't mean that we're in control of everything, in control of our thoughts. Pre-fight anxiety, I think that's what you're referring to there when you said you couldn't even eat, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. But then you look at someone like Sean O'Malley, Conor McGregor, and these guys. But there's a fine line, isn't there? No, I'm saying that. But they nailed it, because you know what I mean? I'm giving them a compliment. But there's a fine line between believing in yourself, knowing that you can do this, and but being cocky and arrogant, and then therefore not working. I guess it's, where do you find that balance?
Man, you know, when you say Sean O'Malley and like Conor McGregor, you know, those guys, I really think in my eyes, I really believe everyone goes through the same emotional roller coaster, but it's who can put on a better face and hide it the best. And I think some guys are just blessed at certain things, and those guys are blessed at those things. But I know they're still going through the same emotions that I am, or everyone else is. So I don't know, man. It's, for me, it's still that I'm still finding myself. Like you said, I'm 27 years old. Yeah. I'll be 28 in December, but I'm still finding myself. But you know, a lot of people like to think, he's cockier, now he's cockier, this or that. I'm not cocky. I built this confidence from literally nothing. No one saw me when I was back and crying to my dad over my first loss when I was fucking 21, 22 years old. No one saw that. Me and my dad sat back there and he held me while I cried, because it was my first loss ever. And, you know, that takes a lot of confidence away. I know you know, and I know a lot of guys that have been there know. But, but I've built this. I've built this confidence. I've built where I'm at. I've worked my butt off to be here. And, I'm going to let it show. I'm going to be me. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that's also got me here is I'm going to be me. I don't care who likes it, who talks shit, who doesn't like it, who does like it. I don't care. At the end of the day, I fight for my money. I get paid where I get paid, no matter if people watch it or not. I don't care. My family still loves me. My kids still love me. So no matter what anyone else says, I don't care. Say what you want, but I'm going to come back and live my life. And at the end of the day, there's so many people out there. Everyone that's talking shit wishes they could step in here and do what we're doing. So,
what's going on, Brendan? Why is there a lot of people out there talking shit online? A lot of haters?
Bro, I probably have to have one of the most like haters in the world, man. Every time something gets released, oh, he's gonna get smacked up. Oh, you got knocked out by Strickland. I got TKO, and it was because of
Does that drive you crazy? Because he's a fucking loudmouth son of a bitch.
You know, I don't mind Strickland anymore. We've had our past, but I know if I keep on my trajectory and he does his thing, obviously he's fighting for the belt. But at the end of the day, I made a bad audible. I went back and I've rewatched the fight since, and it was a lot closer than what I remember. It looks a lot closer than what it was, right? Because when I was in the fight and after the fight, they show different combinations at different angles. One angle looked like he's hitting me. The other angle shows he clearly misses. Like, it misses. So he looks like he's hitting me, but he's not. So, like, I think, to me, I won the first round. I think it was pretty clear. I landed way more than he did. I was way more effective. And then I just made a stupid audible in the second. But it is what it is. I know we'll see each other again if we stay on the same trajectory. But Paul Craig first.
Yeah, Paul Craig first, indeed. We're going to stay on this Sean Strickland subject just for a second. Right. Obviously, he's fighting this weekend versus Israel Adesanya, which is, I mean, look at the win streak that you're on now. 5 wins in a row. You've been in the UFC for a long time. And I'm not just saying this because you're on. Your skills are world-class, brother. And they're getting better and better all the time. And I do see a title fight for you in the future. Israel Adesanya is incredible, of course. But how do you think he does against Sean Strickland? Because you know Sean, right? You've been in there with him. What is your analysis on that fight?
Man, so I think Izzy's very, very good striking going backwards. I think that's his best asset. He's so elusive and he's crisp going backwards. I don't think he's as good going forward. Don't get me wrong, he's good, but I don't think he's as good going forward. Where being in there with Sean, he's very, very deceiving. He leans back and you think you're going to hit him, but then he'll lean, he'll stay in that Philly shell. Don't get me wrong, I won't release like what I feel is the key to beating him.
Bro, but you've got to release the key.
I got to save it for myself for when that runs back.
All right. But, fair enough. Give us a hint.
I think you have to invest in the kick, right? You have to invest in the leg kick. But there are certain things that you have to do to get that leg kick intelligently with Sean to make it effective. But I think Izzy's perfectly capable and understanding to be able to do that. So I don't know, man. It's just tough because if Sean goes out there and tries to grapple, I think he has a very, very high chance of winning the fight. But as we saw when he fought Alex, he was supposed to do that and he didn't. So it's kind of like,
But Sean can't. I mean, listen. Of course, he knows how to do a single leg and a double leg and all the rest of it. But he's not a particularly strong wrestler. I know for a fact because I've trained with him. You know, we're both in Southern California. I've trained with him many times. That's how I know he's a bit of a loudmouth, but he's a good training partner. He's got great jiu-jitsu on the ground. Very, very underrated. But getting there, I don't think he has the wrestling to threaten Israel Adesanya. How do you feel about that? Because he's been in there with, I mean, Jesus Christ, Yoel Romero, but he never really tried. But Whitaker couldn't take him down and hold him down. I don't think that's really going to be a concern. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I heard, obviously, you know how it is out here hearing things. You never know for sure.
Oh, okay. What are we hearing?
But I heard that leading up to the Alex fight that he was taking down Ankalaev pretty effortlessly. So,
oh.
Yeah, that's really? What I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard from a reliable source. So
hold on. Go ahead.
If that's true,
go ahead.
And he decides to wrestle, I think he can pose threats. But I also think Izzy's done great defending takedowns. But I don't think a lot of people have set it up because, again, he's so long and he goes backwards. He has that distance to calculate to stuff those shots. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
That is going to be interesting because certainly if he's taken down effortlessly, one of the best wrestlers at 205, a guy that fought for the belt. If he can do that, then maybe. And you know what? To be honest, it was years ago. I mean, I've been retired since 2017. And since I trained with Sean, it's been a long time. Of course, people get better in that time. So maybe his wrestling has improved. But taking down Ankalaev, if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell to you, brother.
I wasn't there. I'm just saying what I was told. I can't. Hey, I'm just the messenger. Hey, you know, I fought one of your boys back in the day.
Who's that?
Morietta.
Oh, Moses.
Yeah.
Moses is a tough son of a bitch. That was before you were both in the UFC, right? I think that was right before. Yeah, and then I heard he was fighting you, and I was like, oh, shit. Because I love Moses. Moses is great. He helped me out for years and years and years, and so good in the gym. What happened on Fight Night? Because I never saw the fight.
I just beat him up for 5 rounds. The goal was to take him down. So even when I rocked him on the feet, I just kept taking him down and then just beating him up from there.
Yeah.
It was a 50-45 fight, and then that's what I went to get under off of that.
Yeah. No, but you know what? Talking about sports psychologists and the mental side of things, Moses is tough as hell. And maybe it's just because you were that much better than him. You know what I mean? But Moses, I think, is I hope he doesn't hear this. A classic example, and I'm sure you've seen this, Brendan, many, many times. There's people in the gym that when you train with them, they are world class, and you think this guy's going to be a champion, and then they just can't put it together on fight night. And by the way, I'm not trying to take away from one of your wins, because he's as tough as they come. But is that something that you've seen and experienced, and what are your thoughts on things like that?
100%. I 100% agree. I can think of a guy off the head, but I won't release his name because he's a really good friend of mine.
I get it.
Yeah, man, this guy's an absolute animal. I mean, he'd be one of those guys, if I had to fight him for real, I'd be like, we're going to have to dig for this one. It's going to be a tough one, you know? But, yeah, when he comes on fight night, I don't know what happens. I literally don't know. I've tried to think of it. I've tried to see where I could help, because I care about the guy and I want him to be successful and reach that potential that I know he has. But, yeah, man, it just sucks. It really kind of hurts when you care about someone that you train with and that you know how good they are, but they don't just fulfill that potential. It kind of hurts, like, me when I'm close, because I'm not close to a lot of guys. I know a lot of people, but I'm not close, and I don't really get that connection with a lot of guys. So when I do, it really sucks.
Yeah, no, it does suck. I know exactly what you're talking about. And then sometimes, I mean, I used to feel guilty, you know, because the career is going well and I'm earning money and all the rest of it. And these guys are helping me. And as you know, now being down at Killcliff, if you haven't got good training partners, then you're only going to get so good. You need those guys in the gym pushing you to the next level every day. Talk to me about what it's like at Killcliff. I mean, it's one of the biggest gyms in the world now. The talent, the roster in there must be insane. Yeah, talk me through an average training day down there and how much you give that credit for your improvements.
Man, to be honest, at this point, I kind of do my own thing. Like, I go in there, I use the partners, I use the facility, I use the coaches. And we worked a lot at the beginning, but now there are so many guys that coaches are kind of spread out. So you kind of get your coach and, I get my coach and I kind of stick with him for that camp. And I don't pick. It's just whoever's there. Because, again, a lot of coaches are going with different guys to their fights. So, excuse me, it's whoever I get the most time with is who I bring with me, which my boy Tuco is always with me. He's with me almost probably 95% of the time at camp. He goes here and there for a couple other guys. But we're together every day, training every day. So I have my select group, and depending on who's in the room, usually for me, the last couple of camps, it's been me, Tuco, Gregory Rodriguez, Aaron Jeffrey when he's in. I have Impa sometimes. Man, there's so many guys. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
You ever move around with Shavkat?
Oh, yeah, when he's there. Shavkat's, he's great, man. I like that guy. He don't speak lot of English, but he's learning and he's getting better. But we talk, and that's how, like, I got the hat that I wear for weigh-ins and stuff is from Shavkat. So.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
There's something funny about, like, you know, because he's from Kazakhstan, isn't he? Anytime somebody like from that part of the world, when they try and speak broken English, I just think it's fucking hilarious. I mean, they're somewhat, it just makes them cute and endearing. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, the guy's a monster, but like they say it, and he's just so cute.
Yeah, dude, he's so good. I've watched him beat up many guys in the gym. I've sparred with him many times.
He's nice. I do a good job?
He don't even get that much. He's like, yes, coach, yes.
All right, so Paul Craig, how does this fight go down? What are you expecting? Because Paul, you know, no secret. Obviously, we're both from the UK. I know Paul. He's a great guy. And I'm sure you two. I mean, is there any beef between you two?
No, I just like to talk and have fun. So I'll start talking to him more as it goes on. Either he answers or he doesn't. But I don't have any beef with him. I think he seems like a cool guy. But, again, it's just my time. And he's trying to stop my trajectory. And I'm looking to put a stamp. And that I'm ready for that title eliminator and then the title shot. So I've been trying my hardest to get those big fights and those hard fights, and that put me in the talk for that. So to me, I'm not underestimating him whatsoever. I'm expecting him to be amazing, I try not to watch too much tape on him, to be honest, because then it counteracts. Yep. But I don't know. I'm expecting him to be great. I'm going to train like he's great. I'm going to train like I'm fighting Izzy, but preparing for, you know, his style, Craig style. I don't know, man. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to be Brendan Allen and let the cards fall where they fall. I can only control my preparation, so I'm going to control my preparation to the best of my ability. And fight night, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to be great.
And that's all you can do. Final question, then I'll ask you this, because you're a guy that's been in the middleweight division. You're working hard. You're now on a five-fight win streak with Paul Craig. It'll be six. You fought a lot of big names. Obviously, you've been in there with Strickland, who's fighting for the belt this weekend. So you're working your ass off. You're grinding away. Does it annoy you that somebody like Khamzat Chimaev comes up, has one fight against Paulo Costa and maybe being spoke about next? I mean, I kind of get it. I understand it. But like from your perspective, when you're grinding away, does that really get on your nerves or do you get it as well?
For me, it's a double-edged sword. So I used to get super, super irritated about stuff like that. I think now I'm just kind of at the space and been in the game so long that I just kind of, I understand it. But I get this sport is getting more political, I guess you could say, who can put the most asses in the seats rather than who really is the absolute best fighter. It is, to me, it is what it is. Everyone's on their own journey. I'm on mine. I'm in my lane doing my thing. And it's when I get those opportunities, I got to take the most of them and really show up.
I'm giving the opportunity to talk some shit about Khamzat, brother. Come on, let's go. This is what makes the headline. I'm joking.
Nah, because if he comes to me like he did with my boy, we're fighting.
Who's your boy? Sorry, who are you referring to?
Oh, Jaren Mearshart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that. Same thing, like when we walk to face off with Paul Craig, I'm going to tell him, don't touch my face. If you touch my face, there's repercussions. I just don't want my face to be touched before they say go. Obviously, once they say go, you can hit me. That's cool. But before that, like, I don't know where I come from and what I come from. You know, don't touch my face. That's kind of like a sacred area until they say
it's
like,
a no-go zone. Brendan Allen's face.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, to me, that's super disrespectful. Like, we're going to fight anyway. Why you want to touch me? Like, you want to kiss me or something? Like,
why? Just remind me, what did he do? Did he push Gerald in the face or something like that?
Oh, cum shot?
Yeah, cum shot, yeah.
I really thought that was his name, to be honest. I just learned like 6 months ago.
Come on, what did he do?
We were waiting on, so this was obviously when they fought at the Apex and we were staying at that.
Oh, this was at the Fighter Hotel, I remember now. But what did he do? I remember there was a bit of an incident.
Me and Gerald were in the hallway waiting to go in to get his bag, for your equipment. And he walked by with like him and like four dudes. And he looked at Gerald, and as he got like 5 feet walking away from him, he turned back and he goes, oh, you're not talking so much now, are you? Gerald looks at him and goes, bro, what are you talking about? And he stops about 6-7 foot away and he's like, I fuck you up. He's like, I'm gonna knock you out, blah 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 blah. I look at Gerald, I was like, bro, you gonna say something? Because if not, I'm gonna fuck him up. Like, he's got like six dudes and they're all just sitting there like little mice, like, I don't know. I guess it's just where you come from. I don't know. We don't, here in the South in Louisiana, we don't do that. It's either you want to fight or you don't. Like, we're already set to fight. We're going to fight. Saturday night, we're going to fight. So it's like, I don't need to fight you right here. But if you want to, I'm not going to back down from it. I don't know.
I don't want to fight.
Like, to be honest, I don't even care. Like fighting like that. Like, I'm not trying to fight everyone out here. But I will never, ever back down from it. I'll never back down. If I back down from it, my dad going to disown me. So,
All right. Well, we can't have that. You can't have Mr. Allen disowning you, brother. Look at this guy. He's pissing it down with rain. He's finished training. He's semi-naked. You've got hair like Tarzan. You look incredible. Good luck with the rest of the camp, man. Really appreciate it. Love your work, Brendan. Really do. Honestly, big fan. Looking forward to you and Paul Craig. Great matchup. Enjoy. And thanks again for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me, brother. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you November 18th if you're there calling it.
Where is the fight? Excuse me.
Apex.
Oh, the Apex. I think I am calling that. So I will see you there, brother.
All right, brother. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
My man, Brendan. Take care. There he is. The one and only Brendan Allen.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Not touch his face, Hamilton. Do not come close to touching his face, otherwise there will be an issue.
I would never. I would never. Especially never. Now.
My God, that's not how they roll in Louisiana. I was going to say, I know. Remember, I got assaulted on Bourbon Street. I was like, they don't mess around down there. All I did was bloody film somebody. I've just lost my bloody bits, what I was doing. Where have you gone? There you are. So give me a non-MMA story, Harrington. What have we got?
All right. Got a couple here. How about this one? A gender reveal. Turn deadly.
Oh God.
Did you see this video?
No.
No,
it's okay. Sorry. When you just said gender, I thought it was going to be like, you know, gender. Yeah, what I mean? It's like, I'm sick of hearing about that shit. I'm sick of talking about it. Two genders. That's it. Move on. But go on. Yeah. Gender reveal, a regular gender reveal party. Go ahead. Be my guest.
Right. So the these people in Sinaloa, Mexico, they had this idea to have for the gender reveal announcement to have a plane come by and drop either pink or blue smoke. There seemed to be some kind of an issue, with the deployment of this, because the plane, as soon as it drops it, you can see like it catches something in the wind. Just watch the video here. It's a lot. Here we go. Drop the smoke. And then. Yeah.
And then the plane crashes.
Yeah. So the wing got lifted up. The left wing got lifted up as it was dropping it. And it just flipped up with the wind. It turns over.
Did they die?
Yes, the pilot died. It was just one pilot for the gender reveal smoke drop. And yeah, that pilot did not make it.
So we had a terrible, tragic accident at a lovely family party. People are enjoying themselves. And this is what you want to celebrate on the podcast. This is what you throw to me. This is what you bring up. Tragedy. I mean, death and despair. My God, Harrington. Jesus Christ. We talked about this. Proper conversation points. That's sad. That's tragic. And it really is, you know. But, I mean.
30 million views. You couldn't miss this thing yesterday. I mean, dude,
go on.
The biggest thing for me is the people celebrating, right? So you have a guy who's that's it. He's done for. By the time the confetti settled, that plane was done for, right? And you have people jumping around and celebrating. It's just rough timing for that.
Did you have a gender reveal for Baby Aura?
No.
No?
No,
why
didn't,
not?
We didn't do. Because it seems I didn't want to kill a pilot. That's why, Michael.
We're paying you too much money. If you're hiring pilots to drop a bit of purple pink smoke, my God, paying far too much. Yeah. Oh, that's sad. That's awful. Gender reveals.
They've gone too far.
Fair play. It's gone a little bit too far. I mean, fair play. You know, you're all excited. You're having a baby. You know what I mean? I never found out. Did you find out what Aura was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we found out. We found out way ahead of time.
Yeah, we found out as well. We found out. It's like, why not? Get two happy days. Because regardless, people have said, no, we're going to wait. We're going to wait. So how can you wait that long? How can you wait? Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight champion of the goddamn motherfucking world.
Yes, what sir. I'm having a bit of a hair day.
You're always having a hard day. You're looking good, man. You're looking good.
Oh, yeah. This is the champ can do what the fuck he wants nowadays.
That's what I was going to say. The champ can do whatever he wants, and it looks cool. Man, congratulations, Sean. Congratulations. I mean, what else to say? Just spectacular.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Bisbing. Yeah, it's been a hell of a few weeks.
Oh, I bet it has. What has the celebrations been like? I mean... the UFC, had you touring around yet?
A little bit. Right after the fight, we didn't party. We gave it just because the fight got over so late in Boston and there was really nothing to do. So we didn't do anything that night, didn't do anything that week. And then we had a proper celebration with the boys that weekend in Scottsdale. And then I was just in Vegas Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Accidentally went out every night and had a hell of a time.
As you do, and rightly so. But this is where life's going to get interesting for you now. I mean, you've always been massively popular, and we'll get to what's next and all the rest of it. But, you know, I mean, we just had Brendan Allen on the podcast a minute ago, and he was talking about, you know, self-affirmation, self-confidence, working with sports psychologists and all the rest of it. You're a guy that's always showed that mental strength right from day one. Right. And you've always believed in yourself, but of course, behind the scenes, working your ass off, you know, but it's kind of a cliche term these days, manifested this reality. Would you agree with that? Or yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely have all, I think manifest. Yeah. That is kind of a cheesy word or whatever, but yeah, it is literally like how my life, I mean, what's played out so far is literally what I seen as a 16, 17 year old kid, wanting to, you know, be great, wanting to do big things. And that's just, you know, I've seen it all in my head play out before it all happened. So now that it's all here, you know, it feels amazing, but it's just like, I feel like I truly knew this was all going to happen. I had it as such a deep belief that it was all going to happen. And I do think that played a huge role, you know, in it happening. Obviously having that deep belief without working hard doesn't really equal that. So, you know, I've obviously put in the work, and but yeah, I think there's a huge part that manifesting plays in all of it.
And when you were saying when you were younger, you always wanted to be someone, you know, be someone famous or whatever. Was it always in the fight game, or was there something else you were thinking about?
No, the first dream I had was being in the NFL. That was like the first dream I had and the first goal, you know, in fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Eighth grade, and then, you know, you got into high school and you realized, all right, I'm still pretty small. That ain't realistic. I was waiting to hit 6'6", never quite happened.
For those growth spurts.
Yeah, never happened, which worked out good because I'd rather fight these little 35ers than be a big bastard and fight those big guys. So, my first dream, first goals were being in the NFL. Realized that wasn't going to happen. I was like, man, And at this time, I've never even heard of fighting. Like, I never watched kickboxing, never watched MMA, watched UFC, went and tried kickboxing. When I was 16, I was like, this could be it. I was naturally just athletic and pretty much had a very similar style as I do now. I just, you know, I'm mastering it and getting better at the style that I had when I was 16, a young buck, just getting more tools and tightening up everything that I had then.
Well, and as we know, or as they say, and the rest is history, because the Sugar Sean era is here. I mean, right, listen, Aljamain Sterling, that was a tough fight on paper. I mean, it wasn't for you on the night. You breezed it. You made it look easy. And what a spectacular knockout. But when you look at Aljamain, you know, the resume before last Saturday or whenever it was 2 weeks ago, the greatest bantamweight we've seen, right, going on a crazy run, stopping people, the competition that he's beaten. On paper, it looked like a really, really tough fight. But you walked in there cool as a cucumber, and you made him, and I said, I like Aljamain, so I'm going to choose my words carefully. You made him look kind of average. And then that knockout shot, that right hand that you landed, I mean, just talk me through that moment, how it felt. And just tell everyone how that feels.
Yeah, going into all my fights, I know I'm capable of making whoever I fight look bad. Whether they're really good or not, I'm capable of making people look bad. And I think that comes from my speed. I always attribute my speed to my success. Aljamain Sterling was not expecting me to be as fast as I was. And it drives me crazy when people are like, why didn't he wrestle? Why didn't he try to wrestle? I'm standing about 42 feet away from you and still being able to hit you. And these guys can't get in on me. It's not as easy as just trying to grab my leg. You know, so people that were like, why didn't you try to wrestle more? He couldn't. That was a 100%. It was his goal. It was no secret what our game plans were. I executed mine better. And even when he did get me up against the fence, I out wrestled him in a sense. He was, you know, he couldn't take me down, and I'll teach Henry whatever he wants to know, because he took Henry down four times. There's just levels to wrestling, and I'm above Henry, statistically speaking, against Aljamain.
So you're the gold medalist now. Yeah, I mean, you got a gold belt, but now you have Cejudo's gold medal as well.
Yeah, it just that little dude gets so fired up. Just the fact that Aljo couldn't take me down, I know Henry watches it and just gets so mad. But yeah, the moment itself felt like a movie. A lot of the ways my careers have played out, like even knocking out Alfred, Snoop Dogg going crazy, that felt like a movie. You know, coming back after a 2-year layoff, beating Jose Quiñones, that was a powerful moment. But yeah, this one, obviously with Dana wrapping the belt around my waist and knocking out Aljamain, like it was, I knocked out the best dude in the division, the best dude that's ever fought in that weight class. I put him to sleep in 2 rounds. And, so I was very, very confident before this fight in my skills and my abilities, but now it's just like, I need to be humbled. It's getting out of hand, Michael Bisping. No, I'm just kidding.
You're never going to change, and don't change a goddamn thing. I always say what a great guy you are. You're very, very confident, but rather goddamn so. Do you know what was so impressive, Sean? Because, yeah, Aljamain, we know about the wrestling threat, and he did out-wrestle Cejudo, and that's why I thought, you know, stylistically on paper, this is going to be really tough for you. Because, and I speak about this all the time on commentary, but when you know someone's just trying to wrestle, it causes one, yourself, to clam up and not let go, because you're like, as soon as I throw, they're going to shoot underneath me, you know, and that always riddled me with anxiety, you know what I mean? But you didn't feel that at all.
No, I knew, and I remember, I think it was with John Anik, when you have the fighter meetings before the fight, not interviews, not on camera, he said, like, what's your game plan kind of going into this fight? What's your plan? I said, the first round will probably be boring. I'm going to frustrate him, and he will make a mistake first. And that's pretty much what happened, even though I did make a mistake when I fell on my butt. I threw a teep, just came off my foot a little. I'm so fast that happens. You know, when a car spins out at first, that's kind of what I threw a kick, fell. He got me up against the fence. I hit a beautiful, you know, little escape. And then he lunged in, made the mistake first. But I knew going into the fight, like, there's a possibility it could be, I'm not going to just go in there and recklessly engage and try to knock him out. I'm going to wait for my shot. I'm going to pick my shot, and I'm going to make that shot count. And, you know, I didn't hit him too much, but I hit him enough to change the fight.
Well, that right hand, I mean, that was pretty powerful if you ask me. I mean, it face planted him, right? Pretty much.
Face planted him. This documentary crew has been following me around even before the fight. It's going to be a fucking crazy documentary. I think it's more so with like Dana and Hunter and business side of things, but they're following around a few fighters. And I was one of the fighters before the fight, you know, during fight week and then after the fight a little bit. But, you know, they showed me a slow-mo upfront footage of me hammer fisting him when he was on the ground, and like you could see him like go out and like come back. So I don't think anyone will ever argue the stoppage again once this footage comes out. I know he's saying he was fine and stuff, but he wasn't saying it that night. You know, he wasn't really arguing about it right after the fight. I think once a couple weeks go by, it's easier to say, like, well, I would, but I mean, in reality, it's like, what was he gonna, you know, I mean, I wasn't gonna stop punching him, let him up, and let him recover. So I think once that footage comes out, which probably won't be till next year, no one will really argue that. But yeah, the whole documentary is going to be crazy because they were following me before the fight, all fight week. It's going to be a really cool footage.
Yeah, listen, he never contested the stoppage, and I don't think that's a narrative that's really gaining any traction. I mean, you dropped him fair and square. You followed up with about 15 vicious punches, you know, and yeah. Kudos to him for being a tough son of a bitch. You know what I mean? He was still awake. Yeah. He wasn't unconscious, but, you know, listen, he was getting the shit kicked out of him, let's be honest. You've always seemed to do financially very, very well. I haven't looked at your bank balance, but judging by the fleet of cars that you own and the lifestyle that you live, now you're the champion of the goddamn world and you're a massive draw, Sean. I got to suspect you're pretty excited about the future.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that. I feel like, and that's what's made this transition from not being champ to champ feel like nothing different, really, because I was making a lot of money, even in the UFC, but outside of the UFC before being champ. I'm pretty sure I had a Lamborghini before I was even top 15. You know, that's not a lot of people can say that. So, no. I
still can't say it. How the fuck are you driving a Lamborghini, bro? I could buy one if I wanted to.
Of course. But yeah, no, it's been good. The money, you know, everything, pay-per-view points next fight is very exciting. That has a lot of reason why I want to fight Cheeto too. It's like, you look at, you know, if it's just like, all right, who's the next guy in line by ranking? Yeah, it's Merab. I'm the champ. I want this. let's see what happens. I had a meeting with Dana recently, and he said he's going to announce something very big in a few weeks. And I'll leave it at that. But I know what I want, and I want the biggest fights, and I want to make a lot of money. I want to do big pay per views, and so that's that. And that kind of carries on to what I want next.
So you think Cheeto's the biggest fight? I mean, and obviously Aljamain's out there. He said it needs to be me. If it's not me, then it's got to be Merab. I understand for you. Obviously, Cheeto's the only guy, and I know you contest the loss, and you say that you're undefeated, but Cheeto's the only guy. He's got the best storyline for a fight, but we'll get to that in a minute. I saw this video today, and I was laughing my ass off. Cue the tape, brother. Cue the tape.
Yeah.
And you're commentating it. Did you really not know that this was Merab?
No, I knew it was Merab. I guess I just didn't. I just assumed maybe when I was making the video. I don't know why I didn't say that was Merab in the video. I was like, what the fuck, this dude? I knew it was Merab, but I'm like, it was just so funny. He handed this guy his phone. It wasn't even someone he's with. I feel like he's asked someone, hey, will you hold this? And then he fucking took off his shirt and starts shadowboxing out in the rain. I'm like, this guy's a fucking dork. I like Merab, though. I think he's a funny little dude.
He is a funny little dude. Have you seen that video as well? By the way, I'm not trying to fucking hate on Merab because he is a very likable guy. I think he's like jumps into like some snow or some ice and he dives in head first and the fucking ice is frozen or something and cuts all his face.
Yeah, it just shows his level of intelligence. But again, I like Merab. You don't jump into ice thinking it's water. But if you've never seen ice before, maybe you don't know the difference between solid water and regular water. I don't know.
Oh god, here it is. Well done, Brian.
Holy shit.
And then he gets out, his head's all sore, he's fucking Jesus. Cut open and stuff. Oh
yeah, that shit. video was funny. Yeah, it makes it more funny that he didn't know.
Yeah. That's no, great. It does. But he is a tough little bastard. But he came so what do you think? I mean, obviously, in your mind, so Cheeto, that's the one you want. That's the fight you're going after.
Yeah, and let's make sure everyone knows. Like, I'm not going after Cheeto because he's the biggest name, because he doesn't carry much of a draw. And no offense, like he might be a bigger name than like Merab or Corey, but Corey probably. If you want to look at someone how to not emulate your career or sell a fight or anything, like follow Corey. He'll do a great job at that. But the Cheeto fight, the only reason the Cheeto fight's such a big deal is just because of that controversial fight. So that's why that fight's big. And Chael did a poll yesterday. It was 50,000 people and 52% or whatever it was, wanted Cheeto. It's like, we gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah, no, I saw that. And did Cejudo come in dead last?
He did. It's so pathetic. Like, the dude's coming off a loss over a guy I just knocked out. It's just, and then he asking his friends, hey, what should I tweet that'll try to be funny? It's just, it's not looking good for him. If I had any advice for him, I'd say, hey, just get off social media and you might have more followers. I think every time he tweets, he gets less followers. It's like a stat I saw.
Is that a guy that you're interested in fighting, or do you think he's had his time and you forget about him and move on? The division now is on fire. It's the biggest spotlight it's ever had. Obviously, it's got the big star, and I'm not just saying that's kiss your ass, because you are a big, big deal, Sean, and you're going to bring a lot of spotlight to the bantamweight division. Mm-hmm. It's like Cejudo, in your mind, is he yesterday's news?
He's like 3 weeks ago's news. He's just, I mean, 3 weeks to be generous. He's just, he's older now. He's shorter. He's just, there's not much interest in that fight. I mean, you saw the poll. He was dead last. Like, people want to see me fight Merab more than Henry. That's embarrassing. So for Cheeto to keep begging for that fight, I mean, he just looks dumb. If he does want it, he need to go out there, maybe go out there and beat Merab. And that could be an option, but yeah, I've got a couple of fights planned out. You don't want to plan too far ahead, but also you want to have a little path and some goals. So I got some goals. And Henry's not really on that unless he goes and does something, makes a name for himself.
Aljamain Sterling's out there saying, listen, I defended the belt more times than anybody. I deserve a rematch. What are we saying? Cheeto, probably in December at the T-Mobile Arena. I mean, I don't know if Conor McGregor's going to be on that card, but if he's not, they need someone with your kind of star power. So I would assume that would be a time where they're going to highlight. take Cheeto out of there. If that happens, then would you give Aljo another shot?
Ideally, I go out there and I have to knock out Cheeto. I can't go in a decision. I can't submit him. I can't make it boring. I got to go out there and knock out Cheeto, and then I'm going to call out Gervonta. And I know that fight sounds silly to a lot of people, but I go out there and knock out Cheeto. I double in stardom. I am a massive star. But then again, it's like Gervonta's still not quite there. So maybe he needs to go. I think he's in jail, though. So I don't think anyone has told him that I want to fight him yet. But if they do, you know, if he gets a fight, maybe wins a fight and becomes a bigger star, that's a fight I definitely want to partake in.
Well, that's going down the Conor McGregor route. Obviously, he did that with Mayweather, made a shit ton of money. Davis is a big name in boxing as well. Do you think that is something that is a reality? I mean, I'd love to see it. I think you do very, very well. The boxing's always stand out. Clearly, you've got power. You've always shown that. But the way you knocked out Aljo, I mean, only echoes that sentiment. But is that have you even broached that conversation with Dana or anybody?
Yeah, I mean, and Floyd's not, and I hate to even bring that name, but Floyd's an option too. It's not just Gervonta. Floyd's willing to go out there and fight. You know, maybe he
exhibition matches galore. Yeah,
I'm 1-0. I mean, people always talk like, oh, you're trying to copy Conor. I had a pro boxing fight before Conor even fought Floyd. I fucking love boxing. That's what I started doing was boxing. Obviously, I haven't just focused on boxing, so I'm not as good as I would have been if I've only boxed my whole life. But I'm very capable of boxing. It's my favorite. You know, boxing's up there. But what was the question? Sorry.
Fuck knows. Who cares? Ooh. Who cares? Mm. Let's just keep it on the good stuff, man. I mean, how good does it feel, right, for all those people that are close to you? Because for me, when I won the belt, obviously it's a personal thing. You know what I mean? It's great. Yeah. You've achieved this incredible milestone that you forever can be proud of. And, you know, having the belt is something that will never go away. But for those people that were around me, my wife, my children, my close, close teammates, that close inner circle, that always supported me, it was almost, for me, just as much for them. Do you know what I mean? Because they'd supported me. They knew I could do it. You know, I mean, I'm assuming it's a similar kind of thing for you. Just talk to me about that kind of thing, please, Sean.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even like, Brandon, my strength and conditioning coach, after was like, that literally was probably the highlight of my life. Like him telling me that, Tim, you know, tearing up a bit in the cage, and then Danny, my girl, and my family in the octagon after, just seeing their expressions like that. Yeah, that makes it, that's 100% the best part of it all. That and then inspiring people that are, you know, need help just to get going, but also inspiring people that are already successful, people that have already done massive things, that already done big things, and inspiring them to be like, damn, I can be, you know, bigger, I can be better, there's more to do. So I think, seeing the joy I brought to other people, the reaction videos I see on YouTube from random fans at the bar, at their house, it's that those are more fun for me to watch than the actual fight. Seeing people just lose their mind when I won. And then, everyone that supported me in my close inner circle, watching them just be like amazed at something that I did is really, really cool.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, it's not really cool. It is inspirational. It'll go down in the history books. And how good did it feel that, listen, winning the belt, whichever way you can win the belt, is great. But to go out and get an emphatic knockout like that, come on, the icing on the cake.
Yeah, it wouldn't, I mean.
Imagine a close decision that could have gone either way.
Yeah, not even comparable. To win that fight by knockout is being, knocking out a lot of people on the way up, and a lot of the guys I knocked out weren't, you could consider like, oh, they're past their prime or they're not that good. That's just kind of the narrative. I mean, I look at Thomas Almeida as a really, really good striker. Eddie Wineland was more tough than skilled. Holly and Paiva is really good everywhere. So knocking out those guys that are decent but not the best, people could always say, oh, he's good at striking, but he's knocking out people that aren't good. To go out there and knock out Aljo, that narrative is just like not there anymore. It's like, okay, you know. And the narrative of me never fighting anyone tough was there for a long time. Just look at my last two fights. Like I fought Peter Yan, and Aljamain Sterling, and I dropped them both. I technically dropped Peter in the second round, didn't get him out of there. I dropped Peter in the second round, dropped and finished Aljo in the second round. So my resume is going to be starting to build right now. When I said the Sugar Air started, it's going to be a fun next few years.
Yeah, we'll let you go in just a second. But to your point, you're absolutely right. And if I think you navigated the waters perfectly, if I'm honest, you know, because, yeah, of course, okay, you can jump in there with a top contender straight away, but take your time. You know, you still, how old are you now, Sean?
28.
You're still only 28 years old. So what was it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago when you were on the contender? 22?
2017, yeah.
6 years ago. Yeah. So you were 22. Yeah. Exactly. So why the fuck are you going to fight top guys? Learn your craft, learn about your mind, learn about the sport, learn about how to train, how to recover. And as you go, gradually. And then you're absolutely right. Last time out, Piotr Jan, one of the toughest men in the division, a tremendous champion. You beat him fair and square. Then you knock this guy out. No one can say anything now. Yeah, do you still have you had people come, I don't know, maybe in your DMs and say, you know what, Sean, I was wrong, my bad, or do you not really experience many haters?
No, it's funny. I'll read like comments on, like I'll watch your videos, Chael's, like I'll watch videos when my name's in the thumbnail.
Hey, listen, talking about I thought Aljo, the rest of me would be too much. Yeah, no, I did.
I get it.
I did, because he's out wrestled Cejudo.
Yeah,
fucking.
And I didn't hold out wrestling.
Made him look bad. Cejudo look bad. And I thought, fuck, I respect Sean a lot. I like Sean a lot. I think you're fucking awesome, and I've got so much respect. But I was like, stylistically, wrestlers are motherfuckers. Sorry, go on.
No, yeah, you're 100% right. I definitely didn't hold any. There was people that said, "Oh, Aljo's gonna kill him." Like, there's not even close. And then there was people like, "God, I like Sean. I just, you know, I think Aljo's going to be too much." And you can tell when someone really wants me to lose, or when they're like, oh, I kind of want him to win, but I don't think he's going to. And I don't necessarily care either way. Like, if people think I'm going to lose, it doesn't really – I don't hate them or anything. I get it. No. But, yeah, I'll read, like, comments on people's YouTube videos, and they're like, holy shit, I'm trying to hate Sean, but I just can't. I'm trying to not like him, but I can't. He's just – you know, he's as good as he said he is, you know. And I think a lot of the haters turned fans on Saturday, but I don't feel like I have too much haters, to be honest, which is a change from 3-4 years ago, because I'd say I want to be as big as Connor, I want to have massive fights, and people were like, you shut the fuck up, like, you're stupid, you're annoying, that's not gonna happen. And now, you know, I was confident enough back then to say that on the Contender Series. I said, I'm gonna be a fucking superstar, I'm going to be the man. And I got a lot of shit for that, but a lot of people they love to hate on confident people because they're just not confident. And I get it. Like I said, I don't hold any resentment against people that don't want to see me win. It's just, it fuels me to go out there and just be better.
Yeah. Well, see, I got to choose my words carefully, but like when I'm commentating, when we do the fighter meetings, we'll see new people walk in, and they're young, dumb, they're full of cum. They're like, fucking, I'm here to be the Conor McGregor. I'm going to knock everyone fucking out, and no one can touch me. And then sadly, you know, they get starched on Fight Night and all the rest of it. But there's nothing wrong if you firmly believe it and you do the work. You know, there's nothing – it takes – it's one thing to be young, dumb, ignorant, full of shit and say that. But when you firmly believe it and you know you are that good, it takes a lot of confidence to actually say that. You know, so fair play to you, man. You made it happen. Yeah. I mean, we'll leave it there. When you fight Chito Vera, if you're fighting Chito Vera, how's that from one end? What happens?
Cheeto's—he's very tough. He is very skilled. He's very durable. I piece him up. I finished him. You go back and watch that first fight. He wasn't touching me. I was piecing him up, and you know, he landed the kick. He landed the lucky kick, and it went the way it went. But if that kick never got landed, this fight wouldn't be happening. Me versus Chito, if I went out there, finished him, beat him, boring fight, whatever happened other than what happened, me versus Chito 2 obviously isn't as big of a fight. So, and the fact that it happened, it was almost a, you know, it was good. I'm glad that happened. It made my career play out the way it's did, and I'm sitting here as the champ right now with a massive, massive rematch while getting pay-per-view points. So for the fact that that played out the way it did, I'm pumped, and me versus Chito 2 will be huge. If that's what's next, if not, you know, that fight will happen eventually.
Well, Sean, listen, you're in for one hell of a ride, man. You're 28 years old. You're the champion of the world. When I won the belt, I was right at the ass end of my career with one fucking eye. Do you know what I mean? So I knew like this was just a drop in the ocean. But brother, you've got a long, long career ahead of you and you're going to have an incredible time. So enjoy every moment of it. I'm proud of you. Congratulations one more time. And thanks for your time today.
Fuck yeah. Thank you, bro. Peace. Talk soon.
Fuck yeah, indeed. There he is. He's gone. That's it. Sugar Sean. He's right, though. I mean, when you talk to that guy, he's cocky, if you will. But when you know, so in his fight persona, he's very, very confident. So I might call him cocky. But when you speak to him now like that, he's extremely humble.
Yeah, well, I mean, the lyricist, Jadakiss, said it the best. I'm not cocky, I'm confident. So when I say I'm the best, or when you say I'm the best, it's a compliment.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, he is the best right now, him and Chito Vera, two friends of the show. It's going to be a good one. But as I say, he is, if he can beat Chito, which I can't deny the assessment of what he had there. He was doing well, and then, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish. If Chito was the victor, let's be honest. But he has got, I mean, I know the UFC are excited about having him as champion. You know, he resonates with the younger fan base. He's got real crossover appeal. They're going to promote the shit out of him. They're going to be building him up, and he doesn't need that help. He's already a star, you know, and if he can just continue winning fights, they got a monster. They have an absolute monster on their hands. Yeah, good for him. I'm excited for him because he's a fucking solid dude. I always say, like when we're in London, he's like, no, I'm going straight home. I'm not partying. I'm going to go home, be with my princess because I'm starting fight camp soon. So I want to be with my daughter. You know, that's a real man right there. All right, let's talk about my bookie because football is back and so is winning season at my bookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash out system give you options to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit, well, cash out early and use the funds on another bet or let it ride for the chance of an even bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account, which is free. When you're ready to make your first deposit, just use the promo code BELIEVE to grab a little welcome bonus on the house. That is promo code BELIEVE to claim your deposit bonus and for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. Now remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime, only with MyBookie. So MMA, boom, football, let's go. Whatever you want to bet on, MyBookie have you covered. So right now, you got to go to mybookie.website/believeyoume. Good luck, guys. Okay, so anyway, I was trying to get to Benoit Saint-Denis, but we've talked enough about UFC Paris. But you're like, no.
UFC Paris?
One more question about Rome. And I'm one more question about Rose. And I'm like, you know, we've got lots of fights to get to, but we've got lots of news also to get to. And Thursday, Anthony Lionheart-Smith will be back. But Justin Gaethje versus Jorge Masvidal. For the BMF belt, hold on, Masvidal, Justin Gaethje, for the BMF belt. That is what Jorge Masvidal is calling for, correct? And Justin Gaethje is prancing around in what can only be described as a Mormon's dress. That's not a young person's dress. Brian, rolls the tape, please. What's going on here, Harrington?
So this is a pretty common practice in America for fantasy real football. We do a thing.
Is it real football?
Yes. For Justin's league, the loser, whoever lost, came in last place for last season, has to wear a dress to the draft for that year. So.
Oh, is that awesome. Like a common thing?
Yeah. So like there's all kinds of punishments. Like guys will have to stand on a street corner in a t-shirt that says I suck at fantasy football for 12 hours. One guy, this is the best punishment I ever heard. He had to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours. Every waffle that he ate was 1 hour off of the 24. So I think he ended up
just eat 24 waffles and go home.
Oh, you tried to eat 24 Waffle House waffles. This guy made it through, I think, 9 and like damn near passed out.
A waffle? Brian, bring up the. I'm thinking of something different in my head. Obviously, clearly,
I don't think like you
waffle
are.
Fries. They're small little things, right?
No. The like breakfast waffles.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me. Yeah.
I know what you mean.
They load them up.
Four of those things?
No, fuck that. No way. Two of them, I'm looking like Harrington. No offense. Jokes. Don't come to his defense. It's a joke. We're having a bit of banter.
You think you can catch me in just two waffles? Come on, Bisbee. You got to eat a lot of ice cream to get this.
I tell you what, dude. After the road trip I've just been on, Singapore, Paris, back home. Like, I work out every day. I'm very good like that. Not because I have to. It's because I enjoy it. It's the best part of my day. But the diet... When you're on the road, it's hard to eat healthy. Then you end up with whoever it is, friends, colleagues, you know, work people. You go out for dinner and drinks. Do you know what I mean? And we're not talking getting fucked up or drunk or anything, but you have like a cocktail to start. Then you share a bottle of wine, you know, but when it's 10, 11 o'clock at night, it doesn't do any favors to the bloody waistline. So I've got a little bit of I'm glad you're on the screen because when Brendan Allen was on, and when Sugar Sean O'Malley was on, I'm like, I look terrible. Now you're on, I'm like, I look okay again. I look like a normal person.
Do you also get a bit of that, like, I'm in Singapore this week. Like, there's the only place in the world that has, like, rice beignets. I got to go try that dessert because it's the only place you can get that, and I'm in town.
Yeah, and when I was in Paris, I'm like, well, I got to have the croissants. Or as you said, the croissants, got to do it. And here's what they kept doing as well, which, by the way, I was kind of grateful for. But, you know, you wake up, I'll have my coffee, then I go for my run. After that, I'll lift weights. So I call down. I say, yeah, can I get a large pot of coffee? Every day, the same conversation. Can I get a large pot of coffee? You want coffee? Yeah, large pot of coffee. You want Americano coffee? A large pot of coffee. Oh, yeah, coffee. Yeah, no. The pot. Large pot. Oh, you want the pot? Yeah, a pot. And then sometimes the pot would come. You know, other times it'd be a cup. I'm like, oh. Because when the cup comes, basically I can be a lazy bastard. I can sit on the bed for another good half hour at least and just, you know, scroll Instagram, whatever. But anyway, I'm on the phone one day. I'm like, yeah, can I get a pot of coffee? Oh, you want the pot of coffee? I'm like, yeah. What juice do you want? I don't want any juice. Orange juice or tomato juice? I'm like, well, who the fuck drinks tomato juice? But no, I don't want any juice. That's just pure sugar. I just want, because I'm going to walk, go run. I never said that. This is in my mind. What pastries do you want? Croissants? I'm like, no croissants, no juice, just the coffee. Oh, so just the coffee? Yeah, just the coffee, please. I open the door. Is the pot of coffee? There's a plate with about fucking six croissants on it, chocolate, danishes, pastries galore. There's fruit, there's yogurt, there's orange juice. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I'm just going to have the coffee.
I don't know if you saw this, but this lady has a whole new way to think about bodybuilding.
We go ahead. That the only reason people admire bodybuilders who have built their body with muscle and not obese people who have built their body with eating huge amounts of food is because there's prejudice against fat people. And so
she's on Harrington's side. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And all I'm saying is that, Brian, stay on. I'm just saying, like, anyone who has that kind of, I mean, let's be honest, she looks like she could lose a few herself, with respect.
You talking about that Adonis, that giant bodybuilder that she is?
Let me tell you this right now. You know, like, being a bodybuilder, the discipline that it takes, listen, let's be honest, most of them are all on bloody steroids, juiced out of the mind. But just taking testosterone or whatever the hell it is it takes, also, that is not enough. They are incredibly disciplined. They're out of bed at the crack of dawn. They're lifting weights like crazy. They're so strict with their diet. It's fucking insane.
They're always hungry.
Oh yeah, they're having 9-10 meals a day. But it's they're eating fries, they're eating McDonald's, right? The serious bodybuilders, I know a few of them. We had Mike O'Hearn on the show. Mike O'Hearn is one of the strictest people, the discipline that he has. I'll never forget, we went to a wedding and we're at his buddies, it was his mate's wedding that I met through him, you know. And he didn't even have the meal. He didn't even have the meal. And he's like, I'm doing a 72-hour fast. I'm like, how can you come to a wedding whilst being doing a 72-hour fast.
Why even go to the wedding? Next.
Well, I know, but he said, I'm here to celebrate my friend's wedding. It's a big day. I'm like, well, fucking schedule the fast for another time. but the point I'm making is that the discipline for these bodybuilders is insane. So for her to sit there and say that, this body positivity, I don't even need to finish the sentence, is fucking wild. That is heart disease. That is diabetes. That is all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Is that, I thought that movement had passed.
No, of course not. There's so much money being poured into it by Nestle.
I do not want to see when I'm walking down the high street or I'm in the mall, if I walk past a Victoria's Secret shop and there's a mannequin and it's for a plus-sized woman.
Yeah, not
300 pounds. I don't want to see that. I'm just
if people weren't fat, there wouldn't be like billions of dollars in Ozempic sales. So that's a problem, yeah. Right? Like,
No. Well, people do get fat. You just need discipline. You need to get, listen, I'm not in the best shape I can be. We could always be in better shape. You got to have a bit of discipline. You got to get out of bed. You got to work hard. You got to eat the right things. You got to limit your alcohol intake. You got to run. You got to lift weights. But not only because of how you want to look, it's because how you want to feel. And the confidence that you have and the quality of life that you're going to have as you get older.
Yeah, I look great, but I feel like shit. So I got to work on that.
Yeah, we'll just go for a run, Brian. Get out of the house more. I mean, you're staying up till 5 a.m. editing these videos and shit like that. That's what's doing it to you, brother.
Oh, I get it. I'm working on it. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. No, I did see Piers Morgan. I was led in bed in the Paris the other day because they only had one TV channel, fucking BBC News. So I was watching a lot of YouTube, you know, and Piers Morgan was having a debate. And by the way, he can be a bit of a sausage, but Piers Morgan, I agree with 99% of what he says.
It's like Tate.
Just not the way he says it.
Tate's a big dickhead, but I agree with a lot of what he says.
Yeah. Tate is dildo of the year 2022, was it?
We're definitely going to have a new one this year. There's so much going on.
Well, who's the top contender for dildo of the year, Brian? Stop muting and unmuting. The OCD level in you is out of this world.
I'm sorry. I got a background noise going on. It is
fired up.
But, I mean, we have to put this whole Dylan Dennis, Jake Paul, the Paul brothers and Dylan Dennis have to be in a cloud for it at the moment.
Hold on. So we're having a real conversation now, Harry, and have a think as well. The front runners for dildo of the year so far, granted, we're only in September. I'm not with you there on Dylan Dennis and Logan Paul.
I think Dylan Dennis is the good guy in this whole thing, which is weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, Logan has to be now, like, forget Dylan, forget Jake. I mean, Logan's being made to look pretty bad here, dude.
I mean, the pictures of him after his brother's boxing match where he won do not paint him in a good light. I will pull him up.
No, do me a favor. Look at this. Go to Dylan Dennis's Twitter, and then there's a video of Logan Paul today. And he said, oh, Logan's having a bad day or something like that. And Logan smashes a few things up and then smashes a window with his fist, right? And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a recent video. I don't know if it's an older video that Dylan has found. But look, it's bullshit. Because if you are just watching now, hold on. If you are actually having a fit of rage to where you're smashing things up, you're not grabbing a little towel and covering up your hand first before you put it through a pane of glass. Play it one more time. There's just no way. You punch it and you think, shit, I need to go to the hospital.
I'm bleeding.
Yeah, and he just so happened to have a camera set up as well.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, it's just a total tool move. He's just a total tool. Everything he
seems
does.
Like an all right guy, though, if I'm honest. I didn't want to talk about Dylan Dennis. We're talking about dildos of the year 2023. Who's the most obnoxious people? I'm just going to Google Harrington. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, at this point, the only other competitor for me might be Elon Musk. He got our hopes up with this whole Zuckerberg fight thing. And then he said he wanted a practice round in Zuckerberg's backyard. And, you know, he's like, just the sketchiness of like entering into this combat sports world with a lot of talk and then doing absolutely nothing to back it up. It's like, what are you doing? Do you really?
Yeah.
You were that nervous about your Tesla earnings call that you had to make a UFC rumor? It's crazy.
I must admit, like, listen, I'm a fan of like the brilliance of Elon Musk. You know, and when I've heard him on the Rogan podcast and the scientific breakthroughs that he's making and talking about this Neuralink thing, and that could be very troubling. It's terrifying in one way, but it's also, yeah, but if you can help people walk again when they were once paralyzed, so, you know, there's definitely mind reading capabilities that are scary, but also giving sight back to blind people and being able to walk again is great. I just Googled, I didn't know there was such a thing. The most annoying celebrities of 2023 so far. Number 10, Kim Kardashian. But that's not really new, is it? Let's be honest. She's always Gold there. Moves. Kylie Jenner. Kanye West. I don't know who the fuck did this list. Number 7, Logan Paul. Number 6, James Charles, whoever that is. 5, Jake Paul. I mean, listen, that's a good... Number 5 and number 7, you have two sons. They're both in the running. For dildo of the year.
Meghan Markle on my list. Over, I pulled up a different list. I didn't Meghan think Markle. About that, but that, yes. That's probably true. She ruined the royal family single-handedly. Hilarious, by the way.
No, she didn't ruin the royal family. She ruined herself. She ruined herself because she just looks like a total dick. She ruined, what's his name? Harry? Prince Harry. She's just mind fucked him and never mind Elon Musk. That's mind control. That is the ultimate pussy whip if you've ever seen one. My God, you're going to do exactly as I say. You're going to abandon all of your family. You're going to talk about your long dead, highly respected mother, Lady Diana, about how she used to put cream on your penis. You're going to talk about it in a book. We're going to sell our souls to the absolute devil. By the way, you don't need to because you're not broke. You're part of the British royal family.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, because like most people might go, well, Michael, you'd do that. I'm like, well, yeah, I would.
But I don't own the most real
never put cream
estate.
On my penis. She never did. And secondly, I'm not a member of the British royal family.
That's it,
member
man.
Of the Polish. Who else is on your list, Brian?
For fighters,
not fighters, just no. General.
Just in general. Well, let's pretty much everybody in the presidential race for 2024.
No, you're right. Listen, I'll throw it out there. Joe Biden, he's going to be on there, hasn't he?
I was going to say, on. Joe Biden, DeSantis. Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump just looks like a rapper at this point, which is fucking wild. Like, what is happening right now? We're literally in the opening stages of Idiocracy. And I thought I wanted to see this happen in my lifetime. When I watched that movie, I was like, oh, I'd like to fucking be there. I don't. This is bad.
It's a pretty good way of putting it. Obviously, this is an international podcast. We have quite the following in Uganda. But for those people that don't, I'm sure they all know about American politics. It is
affects who's dropping bombs on their head.
Well, I wouldn't joke about it, but it kind of does. But fucking hell. Yeah. There's a lot of dildos this year. It's a highly contested race. Harrington, we'll have you got one for us?
No, I think we've covered just about all of them. Beating Donald.
Go on.
I was just going to say, I don't think you're beating Donald Trump, Elon Musk, or Logan Paul.
Well, I think Joe Biden could be up there, though.
Tell me this.
On this list that I'm on, which granted is a whack-ass list, what website is it? Ranker.com. Number 4, Bill Cosby. Is that not a bit out of touch? I mean, what's he been doing lately? I mean, listen, we know Bill Cosby is a piece of shit. I mean, at number one, they have... What's that?
I said, is he? I mean, he was let out of jail on all of his charges.
Yeah, but we all know.
Innocent until proven guilty. And he was, but they overturned it.
Okay, so you're a Bill Cosby sympathizer. We know this.
You just said
questions.
These are alleged. Do you know? To be fair, who was it? Who posted this today? there's a woman. Oh, I need to know. I need to look it up on my Twitter. There's someone on Twitter today. Oh, it was Jake Shields. Bring this up. We got to play this. Jake Shields on his Twitter. He said this woman, and it's a woman. She's out there and she does a video on a podcast. And she's talking about how she called the police and made up a story about how her ex-boyfriend is abusing his children.
I found it.
And she's telling the story on a podcast. I mean, this is just disgusting because, you know, we're talking about Bill Cosby and whatnot. But check this out. This is mind-blowing.
I called, like, child services on this one. I called child services on my ex. Because he pissed me off. And then I was like, yeah, I'm done with this person, whatever. Like, you know, cheater, fucking piece of shit, lies about dumb shit. He had kids. I called child services on his ass and I like fabricated everything and like said certain things. And they like went to the door and like there was a whole process. Like, I don't even know if the children's aid worker still visits them, but she probably does because what I sent, like the way I AI'd that shit, you know, like real AI shit, like fake bruises type shit.
Yeah. And she's on a podcast laughing and bragging.
I mean, that has to be evidence, right?
Well, of course, I would expect the police, if they're doing the job, to follow up pretty soon and put her in handcuffs, because not only is that wasting police time and making false accusations. I mean, just think about it. Let's just assume that they followed through. For some reason, they believed her or whatever. I don't know. Those kids could have ended up in a care home. Mm-hmm. Right. And just completely destroyed their lives. But then also you've got women out there. I mean, she's number one on this list, by the way, Amber Heard. You know what I mean? Yep. There's still people out there that say that she is still the victim. And if we go down Harrington's, I mean, the
British courts would say that.
well, she's not. But there's women out there.
Unbelievable. That
women are always believed, right? Generally, let's be honest.
General, yes.
When it comes to children and things like that, and then the courts often side with them because a mother needs to be around, and I totally get that. But when you see that shit there, she's just undermining women out there that are suffering, that are going through things, and she's going to sit there on a podcast and fucking laugh about it. That's why you got to follow Jake Shields on Twitter.
In other hilarious news, a while back, a Colombian dude changed his gender to get custody of his kids.
Do we have a video?
Oh, I remember that.
I don't have a video. It was like a news article I read like 3 weeks ago. But it's a Colombian guy identified as a woman in court. And because he made more money than his ex-wife, and they usually go with the mother, he identified as a mother, and he was better off. And it was hilarious. I think that's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Just real quick, I want to jump in with a little devil's avocado on that Jake Shields video.
If you're a father,
why are you bringing that woman around your kids?
Well, okay, she looks like she might be a lot of fun at certain times. Okay,
certainly. You're a dad now. That part of your life is over. Like, you hanging out
with porn star looking chicks. Stop taking her side. She never said that. She might not have been around the kids. She might have just known that he had kids. And then he decided, yeah, you're a bit of a trashy, skanky hoe that I was having a bit of fun with, right? And see you later. And then she just goes, you know what? He's got kids. I'm going to totally lie. Do you know what I mean? Enough. So you don't know the details, Hamilton. Don't make up those details. That's a disgusting thing. Don't give a devil's avocado. Don't do that.
I was dating a chick that kind of looked like that one time, but she had a kid, and every time she tried to be like, oh, come and meet my kid, I'd be like, no, I'm sick, I can't hang out.
I do love the fact that Justin Gagey wearing a dress sends us on one of the biggest tangents we've ever been on.
I hope it doesn't get us all the way canceled off of YouTube.
No. Oh, get me fired from every bloody platform I'm on. It shouldn't do. I don't think we've said anything explosive.
Just a little bit of cleanup with that. I have Masvidal's full quote about the Gaethje fight if you want it.
Yeah.
He said, I think he should defend it against me, if you ask me. That's what should happen if I was to come back to the sport. And that's a big if, but I never knock off coming back to fighting because I love fighting. I love fighting. It's my favorite pastime. It's my favorite sport. It's my way of life. So I can never say I'm not going to fight.
Mm, yeah. I mean, listen, for Masvidal, last time it was Gilbert Burns, right? That was his final fight. He's pushing 40. Listen, would I want to see Masvidal versus Justin Gaethje? 100%, absolutely. There's probably a little part of him, because he is close with Dustin Poirier, seeing Justin knock him out the way that he did, he probably wants to get in there, get revenge. Of course, it would be a massive payday, be a big fight, Gaethje and Masvidal. I think everyone would want to see that. And he's not long retired. When was it? It was earlier this year, wasn't it, against Gilbert Burns? Start of the year, like March, I think, something like that. Yeah,
because we were talking, because I think on that same card, Leon was fighting Kamaru, right?
No.
Or something like that. It was close to it. It was very close to 8.
Yeah, but anyway, it was 6 months ago. So he's not long retired. Everyone would want to see that, you know? Hey, listen, and Justin Gaethje, he might be up for that. He might be up for that. That would be a fun fight. I think the UFC would want to book it as well. If Masvidal's serious, go on.
I was going to say, if there's a logjam at the 155 title, right? We have Makhachev versus Oliveira. Makhachev's coach is saying he wants to fight Volkanovski next. So if there is no path to a title for Justin Gaethje, I mean, what's he going to do? Sit out for 18 months waiting for a title fight? Like a Masvidal fight would at least keep him active.
Makhachev wants to fight Leon Edwards.
Okay.
That's what he's been saying, right? Well, you're saying he wants to rematch Volkanovski? I don't want to see that. He wants
to either defend the belt. Then Leon.
Well, whatever. We've already seen Volkanovski. I mean, I'd love to see that, but I think Volkanovski needs to defend against Ilia Topuria. I think Volk's fine with that. You know, if Islam can defend one or two more times, him versus Leon would be great. But Leon's going to get through Colby Covington first. There's no givens in this sport. But still, we digress. And we are digressing. And we've been going on for about 2 hours now. And I've just got back from Singapore and from Paris. And tomorrow morning, I have to go to Las Vegas to do the Contender Series. You know what that means? I've got to learn about 10 fighters because I've got to commentate them tomorrow. And I haven't even looked at the card. So what are we going to say, Harrington?
I think it's only 8 fighters now because one girl just got pulled from the card because she turns out she's pregnant.
No, are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I just
happened while we were on air.
Like it happened an hour before we started, maybe.
Oh, really? I was working out. You know what I mean? Living, yeah, of course. Living the way that I talk, backing it up. I'm not all talk. I was out. I was running. I was pounding. So she's pregnant.
That's as far as I understand. Her medicals revealed that she's pregnant, and therefore she's pulled from the card.
Oh, shit. Well, congratulations to her, I guess. Yeah, congrats. But what a way to find out. What would you call the baby?
Octagon.
Yeah. A real octagon. Fucking pain in the ass. Listen, Harrington, tell them about if they want to subscribe to Gas Digital, because we're not going to do questions today because I've got a shit ton to do. We've been going for a while. Big thanks to Sugar Sean O'Malley and, of course, to Brendan Allen. And for you guys for tuning in, watching the show, please subscribe and ring the bell. Anthony's going to be back on Thursday. We'll do a bunch of questions then. But Harrington, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, if you're listening on Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Hit that notification bell. Find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM and get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check over 20 great shows on the network.
Yep, Harrington, as always, good job filling in for Anthony Smith. Anthony will be back Thursday, as I say. We'll have another killer show for you. Thanks for supporting the channel. We appreciate you. Subscribe one more time if you haven't done, and enjoy the rest of your day. Yeah.